الرحمن الرحيم ونفسي وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah. Last week with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we discussed, we emphasized the importance of tazkiyah of the nafs, spiritual purification of the nafs, cleansing our souls. And I had mentioned we need to make a firm determination, a firm resolution that we need to make islah of our nafs. We need to purify ourselves. And the tawfiq that is given to us is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how we gathered here for Isha Salah, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us the ability, the strength, and the opportunity to make sajda, to make ruku, to read salah. So like that, sitting in this gathering, the purpose is we got to focus on spiritual cleansing, tazkiyah of our nafs. And we mentioned various examples last week and how to control our nafs. Nafsi ammara, lawama, mutmainna, the different states or the stages of the nafs. Examples were given of a child that is born or a little baby in the car seat, in the back of the car, how the father is always watchful, careful, observing the child. The child does not come out of the car, does not fall, does not get hurt. And as the child grows, sitting in the back seat, there's a safety lock that is kept. Then the child goes front, sitting next to the father, until the child then is a grown up. And then he begins to drive the car. Then to the father, he's checking on this, on his son. Like that, the person is checking on his nafs all the time. Then we mention how Allah's nusrat comes, Allah's madad comes when a person is making mujahada, when he is fighting and he is suppressing the dictates and demands of his nafs. He's going against his desires. When that happens, Allah's madad will come to such a person. Allah will definitely help that person. So when he's in a situation, a predicament, where now he is being enticed by nafs and shaitan, he's being lured, because of the mujahada he made, he developed a ta'alluq with Allah, a nisbat, a connection with Allah. Now Allah's madad will come, Allah's assistance comes, like how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is now being trapped by Zulaykha, and she is chasing him, and she is seducing him, and every door is locked. But Allah comes to his rescue when he says, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ, and Allah Ta'ala opens all the doors and he is safe. At the time of maut also Allah's help will come. When shaitan will try and entice us to leave and forsake and abandon Islam, then to Allah's help will come. The example of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi was given, that right till the last breath, shaitan tried to entice him. And shaitan began to say to him that, oh Ahmad, you have escaped and you have been successful and I cannot deceive you. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahman said, not as yet, not as yet. So inshallah today we continue, and this is a mazmoon written by Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, a very great alim. He was known as Mufti Azam Pakistan. He is the father of Mufti Taqi Usmani, Mufti Rafi Usmani, Dawamat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya. The entire family is so pious, learned, and they have done great service for deen. So Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was one of the very senior khulafa of Hazrat Thaniwi rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Thaniwi rahmatullahi was Mujaddidul Millah. So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi brings this mazmoon, and he talks about islah nafs wa muhasabah nafs. Islah again, reformation. I mentioned last week a person has to take his car for panel beating. He said, allow the panel beater to beat up the car. Like that, this nafs requires this panel beating. So it requires the islah. And muhasabah, when a person takes an account of his nafs. So he begins and he says that, he mentions a person named Allama Harith Muhasibi rahmatullahi alayh, who was known as an imam in tasawuf, an imam of the Sufiya Kiram. He was given this title of Al-Muhasibi in Arabic, Hasaba Yuhasibu, Hisab or Muhasaba. This means to take an account, to keep a check. A Muhasib in Arabic means an accountant. He's checking the assets, liabilities, the balance sheet. So a person who is a muhasib, or Allama muhasibi, was given this title because he was always checking his nafs. And he wrote scholarly works in tasawuf, a masterpiece known as Risalatul Mustarshideen. It is a treatise and advice to all those who are seeking the path of hidayat, the path towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that he has given various advices, it's in Arabic, the kitab. So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah makes mention of that kitab and Allama Muhasibi, and he says Allama Muhasibi was such a great scholar that he was an ustad of Imam Aini rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah Ali's ustad he was. So can you imagine what caliber person we are talking about? And he's written this kitab, various aspects on tasawuf and connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the he mentions one sentence in which he says, حاسب نفسك في كل خطرة وراقب الله في كل نفس. What does it mean? حاسب نفسك. Check your nafs. Take an account of your nafs. Make hisab of your nafs. في كل خطرة. In every thought that comes into your heart. Now a thought that comes into a person's heart, the very first thought that comes in, is not within his control, it's involuntary. So the thought comes in. What does the person do after the thought comes in? Person has to check whether this thought is a good thought or an evil thought. Is it pleasing my Allah, or is it going to displease my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So a thought came. Now he knows it's an evil thought or a good thought. For example, the thought came that, look at that pretty woman. So immediately what he needs to do is not to entertain this thought and develop and build on this thought. He needs to dispel this thought and take it out of his heart, because he has checked immediately. It's a good thought or a bad thought? It's a bad thought. It's not going to please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hisab at that time, to take an account of his nafs at that time, he needs to now take out the thought out of his heart. If he does not do that, if he does not dispel this thought from his heart, then this thought is now going to develop. So now it's going to become an intention. A niyat will come, that now I intend looking at that girl or that woman. And eventually it will become a determined intention. So he'll have a determination. He'll make a pakka irada now. So that seed that was planted, if it is not uprooted immediately, is now going to germinate. Is now going to grow into a plant and then a tree. And the person will now begin to persist in that sin of casting lustful glances, for example. Eventually it will become an adat. It will become a habit. And once a habit is formed, now it becomes very difficult to come out of that habit. So see where they are talking about. What is the root of the problem? The moment the thought comes in, check. Evil thought, good thought. Good thought, no problem, entertain it. He said, evil thought, dispel it immediately. And then don't even look at it again. Don't entertain the thought. So this is what Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi is saying. Then Allama Muhasibi rahmatullahi has mentioned that حاسب نفسك في كل خطرة. Every thought that comes in, check your nafs. He says, دل میں خیال آیا کہ فلا زینت فلا تماشا. بڑا اچھا ہے. That picture is very beautiful. Something is very adorned. So now, دل میں میلان پیدا ہوا. There will be an inclination towards that particular thing. Now once that happens, he needs to dispel that inclination if it's an evil inclination. If it's an evil thing. If he does not do that, then the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman has mentioned that then, agar khatra ki parvarish ki jaye, to irada banta hai. If he's going to nurture that thought, he's going to entertain that thought, he's going to build on that thought, it'll become an irada. Irada phir amal ban jata hai. Then that irada will become an action. Or amal se aadat ban jati hai. Now because He did that action once, twice, three times. Now every day it will become habitual. Now he becomes a habitual sinner in that particular sin. Then he says, Shaitan ke behkane ka tariqa. Shaitan, he knows exactly how to deceive us. A person who is outwardly pious, person is a namazi, he's a zakir, he makes zikr. So Shaitan won't just tell him, go make zina. Because this person will be able to combat Shaitan. He'll overcome this waswasa of Shaitan. What does Shaitan do? He'll bring a pretty face in front of this person. And he'll force, or he'll then try to persuade you to look at that woman so that you may become attracted to her and eventually follow the procedure that will lead you to zina. This is what he does. Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, in the time of Hajj, he seated on the same conveyance as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was fortunate. Rasulullah allowed him to sit with him on the same camel. And as they are traveling, it's the time of Hajj. Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma is a youngster, young boy. And suddenly a woman comes, a very attractive woman. And Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu begins to look at her. First glass, second glass, and he's saying, Rasulullah saw that. The moment Rasulullah saw him doing that, Rasulullah took his head and turned it away. Immediately turned his, and then Rasulullah advised him. So sometimes, the accidental glance falls on a woman. You've got a business, a woman comes, a very pretty woman comes before you, or you are driving, or you are walking, wherever it may be. Accidental gaze that fell, Allah Ta'ala is not going to punish you for that. It's beyond your control. But immediately when that happens, the same thing what we discussed now, muhasabah, check your nafs. To look again is going to be bad. Now this is something that applies to all of us. Every day we are confronted with this. In the colleges, varsities, it is more heavier. Alhamdulillah, in the masjid, there's no problem. The moment you walk out of the masjid, again, these temptations will come. Especially those who are in this corporate world. You are in the business. Every single day you are going through this test. And remember last week what I mentioned? That now, if a person combats those evil temptations, and you do not look for the sake of Allah, Allah will give you the sweetness of iman. So the same thing, he says, Shaitan nek aadmi ko ye nahi kehta ki tum zina karo, balki ek haseen surat dikhai. Shaitan won't tell a good pious person go make zina. He'll show you that beautiful face. And now when that happens, so now you mustn't give tawajjuh to it. Don't give it any attention. If you are not going to give it attention, you'll be safe. But the moment you give attention to it, now your thoughts will start running. And then Shaitan will tell you, just look at it just one more time. In other words, just out of curiosity. Maybe you know her. Maybe that's your mother's friend. Maybe she needs something very, very urgently. Different thoughts will come. Of course, you're in the business, zarurat, now you will have to deal with that woman. But you don't stare at that woman. A dentist once asked Sadaqi Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Arif Billah when he came, he asked Hazrat Maulana to go and ask Hazrat, I'm a dentist, so now I am seeing this patient, the woman are coming, and of course I can see the face, what do I do in that situation? So Arif Billah, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Arif, gave a very simple, beautiful answer. He says, do not stare at that woman, when now you look at every pore of that woman, and look at what kind of eyes she got, and what kind of nose she got. You must put a cursory glance and think that before you there is a dead corpse, a lash, a glash pariye. Nobody is going to admire a corpse. You as a dentist, a doctor, you've got to examine that patient and you have to do what you have to do. So whether you're a dentist or you're an eye specialist or a doctor, whatever it is, at that time a cursory glance. You don't stare at that woman. The same thing. If that temptation comes to look now and stare at her, dispel that thought. If you do not do so, then again it will germinate, it will grow into a tree of sin. Then it will become an adat, then it will be very difficult now to remain, refrain from those sins. So this is what shaitan will do. He'll bring that pretty woman and he'll try to entice you. If you don't give any tawajjuh, you'll be safe. Dispel that thought. The moment you start entertaining the thought, now he'll lead you from one thing to another. And when in 2 days' time, what happens? You start getting familiar with her, very friendly. She also will exchange WhatsApp number. And then slowly the conversation begins. Initially it is out of zarurat. Then it becomes more friendly. The moment you see this happening, no matter who you are, whether you're the mentor, you're the sheikh, you're the ustad, you're the imam, you're the qari, you're the mufti, you're a businessman, whoever you may be, cut the thing off from the root. In this day is hifazat for you. The other person may become angry with you. And the other person may be thinking, what is wrong with this person? But you know where nafs will lead you to, where shaitan will tempt you to. Then he says, Adi gunegar ka dil ulte bartan ki tarah. A person who becomes a habitual sinner, his heart is like an inverted utensil, a container, a bartan. We have this jug of water, or a jug, or a glass, and you turn it upside down. So whatever is inside will come out, and nothing can fill inside it. He says like that in the hadith of Rasulullah, some explanation is given, that the person who persists in guna, his heart will become inverted, his spiritual heart. When that happens, he will not be able to see haqq as haqq, and he will not be able to see batil, falsehood, as falsehood. He won't regard haqq to be haqq, he'll regard haqq to be falsehood, and he will regard falsehood to be haqq. So for him now, such a sin is no sin. Nothing wrong in that. Why are you being so petty? There's nothing wrong in that. He'll find everything very, very correct for him. All haram will be good for him. So this is what Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman says, that then this person's heart becomes inverted. And he will see haqq to be batil, and he'll see batil to be haqq. And therefore, he mentions again, just as when the person is allured with the first accidental glance, shaitan will whisper into him, nafs will prompt him, that look again. At that moment, immediately he must turn his gaze away. Then he says this khiyal that comes, where Allama Muhasibi says, that hasib nafsaka fi kulli khatratin, in every thought that comes, just check yourself. Now obviously the first thought that will come, it's not voluntarily, it's involuntary, it's not within your control. So what do? You ignore it. You are not going to be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that thought. Yes, if you build on that thought, or if you sit and you begin to fantasize, and now you are bringing and importing a thought into your mind, that is something else. A stray thought just came in. So what do? Just ignore it. Just like how a person casts or a lustful, an accidental glance fell on some woman, like that you are not going to be answerable. But if you build on it, then you are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore the second part, he says, وَرَاقِبِ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ نَفَسٍ, in every breath you take, every breath you take, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching you. This is the main medicine that will help us not to fall into the trap of nafs and shaitan. This is the cure. وَرَاقِبِ اللَّهَ. One has to build the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi kulli nafasin, in every breath he takes. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman says, every breath, it is so qimti. One sans a person takes, one breath, it is more greater, this ni'mat from Allah ta'ala, to be able to breathe. One breath is greater than the entire world. All these ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are extremely great. We cannot attach a tag to it, a price to it. Impossible. Allah has never charged us for a breath that we are taking. Allah save us, a person in hospital is struggling to breathe. They put him on the machine, he's battling, people are parishan. Then the person realizes how important it is, what the value of one breath we have, and we are taking, enjoying the oxygen that Allah has provided for us, free of charge. Like that, he mentioned the story of Bahlul, which we mentioned previously. Bahlul rahmatullah, he was a majzoob. He was an ashiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a simpleton, very simple minded. People used to make a joke of him. Harun al-Rashid, who was the king at that time, was pious. Harun al-Rashid had plentiful of this dunya, and he would allow Bahlul to come and visit him at any time he wished. But Harun al-Rashid also would make a joke of Bahlul also sometimes. And the courtiers would laugh at Bahlul, with some of his statements he would make. But eventually, they would realize that what he said makes a lot of sense. There was a lot of hikmat in what he says. Harun al-Rashid is sitting one day, and Bahlul comes to him. Say, Hazrat, tell me, if you are dying out of thirst, and you've got, at that moment, none of your soldiers, or none of your people around you to fetch you a glass of water. You've got no water, no access to water. Suddenly you are in some jungle, and everybody else, and you are lost, and everybody else is gone, and you require water because you're going to die out of thirst. And if somebody comes and gives you half a glass of water to quench your thirst, to save you from dying, would you be prepared to give him half your kingdom? Harun Rashid said, indeed I will do so. To save my life, just to get that half a glass of water, I'll give him half my kingdom, no problem. Then Bahlul will say, Bacha, you drank that water. And suddenly you had a problem with your urine. Urine got blocked. Your passage got blocked. You are unable to urinate. And you are battling and struggling. You are in pain. There's nobody else. There's no doctors there. And when somebody comes, a Hakim suddenly appears and he says, that I will help you to remove this water that you drank. Just give me your other half of your kingdom. Will you give him your other half of your kingdom? He says, indeed I will do so. For that glass of water, or to be able to remove that glass of water, or half a glass of water, and to save my life, I'll do so. So Bahlul says, Hazrat, your entire kingdom is only worth half a glass of water. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman says, and imagine, how many billions of liters we have drank from the time we are small kids? How much of water we have consumed? We ourselves cannot take and give an account how many liters of water I have drunk. We just open the tap and we drink to our heart's leisure and pleasure. These are all ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, وَرَاقِبِ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ نَفَسٍ Every breath, which is so qimti. Every breath a person takes, he must be conscious that my Allah is watching me. When that happens, then when the temptation comes, then he'll be able to bring in this consciousness of my Allah is watching me. I cannot do that haram. I will not do that. My Allah is being so kind to me. I should show loyalty to my Allah. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودَ Allah says, man is ungrateful to Allah. Allah gave us all these ni'mas. Like we said, the ability to drink this water. So many ni'mas, the ability to breathe in this air. All these are ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, Hasibu Imam, as Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala mentions, Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. He says that you check your nafs. Take an account of your nafs, your a'mal, the condition of your nafs, the thoughts that are coming into your heart. Make hisab kitab of it. Before your hisab kitab is taken on the day of Qiyamah. When you'll be standing all before Allah subhanahu, all alone before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your nama, ya amal will be weighed, all those registers will be placed. Before all that happens in this dunya, Allah has given us a chance. Take an account of your nafs. If I've done wrong, make tawbah istighfar. Don't make israr on a guna. As I mentioned, a person persists on guna, then eventually it becomes an adat. Now he's a habitual sinner. Now to give up that habit, person who's a habitual smoker. Allah save us. Now suddenly the doctor tells him, from tomorrow you're going to cut down your smoking, your cigarettes. It's so painful for him, so difficult. So in this dunya, when a person makes hisab of his nafs, and he checks, no, I'm going to make tawbah for this. I did wrong. This was a good thing. I'm going to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the day of Qiyamah, when those amal are placed, if you already made hisab of yourself, as the Mufti Shafi Sahib Ramadhu says, in dunya aadmi bahut hoshyar rehta hai, tajir. He keeps two registers, two books, one for the taxman, one for himself. That one he'll change. He says, Allah ke samne you can't have two registers. There's only one register before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. Every single sin, major, minor, big, small, everything is recorded. Everything is recorded. So you're going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وراقب الله في كل نفس. Every breath you take, ponder, Allah is watching me. So take hisab kitab before your hisab kitab is taken. وزنوها قبل أن توزن. Yani, and also weigh your a'mal. Check it. Before your amal is really put onto the scales. In dunya also we're traveling. People go for Hajj, Umrah, overseas, wherever they're going. And they carry a bag scale sometimes, or before they're going, they only allow 20 kgs or 22 kgs. They'll weigh that bag so that you go tomorrow at the counter, you have no problem. You're underweight. You're not going to pray for so many kgs, so much of friends. So you're ready before you go. Like that, before we reach the Qiyamah, when a person will stand before Allah and his a'mal be weighed, weigh your a'mal in this world. How does a person weigh his a'mal? As we mentioned last week, Islah, person is to find the company of somebody who will guide him. If a person cannot find any person, then read the kitabs of the Ahlullah, the Mashayikh, or Akabir, or Buzughan al-Din. Read Hazrat Thani Ramadhan's kitabs. Some are translated in English now. It's made easy for us. Mujaddidul Millat. It will show us the tricks of our nafs. It will help us to make our islah. Otherwise, sit in those gatherings where at least these things are mentioned. Allah Ta'ala will give us tawfiq then to make amal and to make our islah. And He says, وَتَزَيِّنُوا لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ يَوْمَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةِ. Decorate, adorn yourself for the day when you will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing will be hidden from Allah Rabbul Izzat. 5 questions will be asked. Now every person has to answer 5 questions on the day of Qiyamah. One question will be the life you were given. The Umar, your life, how did you spend it? Now a person has to give account before Allah Rabbul Izzat. This is how I spent my life. These are the good things I did. These are the evil things I did in my life. Another question, especially a youngster, a youth, or the person asks, how did you spend your youth? A youngster feels, when I grow old, then I will change my life. Then I'll make tawbah istighfar on the day of Qiyamah. The person's feet will not move from the place where he's standing until he doesn't answer these 5. One riwayat got 4, and the other riwayat got 5 questions. In this 5 one, the person is asked, how did you spend your shabab, your youth? So my youngsters also who are listening to the program, don't wait for old age to come. How many a youngster, he does not see old age, maut comes to him. Imagine becoming a wali of Allah whilst you are a youngster. Hazrat Arif Billah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, make shukr to Allah. He makes so much of shukr, ke me awliya ke god me baligh hua. In the company, in the lap, literally in the lap of the friends of Allah, I became baligh. In other words, he spent his youth in the company of people like Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali. Great people. Don't go that route where you will spoil your entire life, your amal, your heart, your spiritual condition, until you develop bad habits of drugs, gambling, drinking, womanizing, zina. How many a youngster comes, is about to get married, but now he's worried because his life is spent in zina. Now what does he do? May Allah protect me, may Allah protect all of us. These are serious things. On the day of Qiyamah, you'll be asked, how did you spend your youth? And then Allah will ask you, your wealth that you acquired, min ayna iktasaba? Where did he get his wealth from? What was the source of his income? Halal, haram? Then how did you spend it? Perhaps you earned halal, mashallah, very good, excellent. But then you go spend on lavish wedding functions, and you make such israf, just to please the community. They are not going to give hisab kitab for you on the day of qiyam. Allah will ask you, how do you spend your wealth? Fima anfaqta, in what avenues did you spend your wealth? So four questions. And the fifth question, the knowledge Allah gave you, ماذا عملت بما علمت? This is a very frightening one for all of us, especially people like us who Allah has given us some knowledge. That the knowledge I gave you, Quran, Hadith, whatever knowledge you had of Deen, what amal you did? What was your action? So therefore we have to make muhasaba of our nafs. We have to have the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching us all the time. And Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah ends this mazmoon, where he mentions dry clean ki machine. He says one friend of his took him to a place with a laundry, and he saw this dry clean machine. Must have been that time, those times, very first time it was invented or brought. Hazrat was amazed. So you put this powder and this liquid and the clothes. He thought to himself, so much of money is going to remove the stains that have come onto this garment, and so much of water and so many spins, that this one garment has got a few stains. So much of time, effort, money is being spent to clean this garment, which eventually will become bosida, tattered, torn and thrown away. He says, why not the effort and made on our nafs, which has got a dabba, a stain on it, of sin. One guna we make, a stain comes onto our heart. We don't make tawbah, istighfar, it will grow and grow, it becomes larger and larger. The entire heart becomes engulfed. Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. He says, take a lesson from this dry cleaning machine, the washing machine. That this is what we require, islah of ourselves and purification of our soul. May Allah give me tawfiq first and all of us. Inshallah, we continue. Allah give us tawfiq. Reading the mulfuzat, mawa'iz of our elders, mashayikh, who lived a life of taqwa in this day of an age where we are tempted all the time. Inshallah, the mulfuzat, mawa'iz, little by little, Allah Ta'ala will give us tawfiq and hidayat. But as I mentioned last week, the very important thing, we must have the determination that I want to make tazkiyah of my nafs. I want my islah to take place, and we take the step towards it. Otherwise, sitting here, and we just listen, we just want bayan, it's over. As I mentioned, a person who is sick, he's got some problem, he's got some pain, he goes to the doctor, then just sit in front of the doctor, and he asks, doctor, okay, tell me what's wrong with me. And doctor will say, bhai, you go to tell me what pain you got. Your head is paining, stomach is paining, your toe is paining. The doctor will take some blood samples. He might send him for an x-ray. He'll give him some medication. Does not work, give him something else. Like that, if a person wants his islah, he has to go to find the right person who has munasabat with. There are ways and qualities a person has to look for. Inshallah, we'll discuss all this. We'll go and ask some pious person who has spent time in the company of mashayikh. I've got these weaknesses. I cannot control my gaze at work. I find myself swearing at work. Oh, with my wife, I'm very abusive. Oh, I have hasad, I have jealousy for my neighbor. Oh, I have pride. So until we don't say these things, and sometimes you might not know you have an ailment, but that mahir tabib, he'll tell you, you got this problem as well. And you'd not even know you had that problem. But until and unless we don't go to the person, then our islah cannot take place. We will still remain in the same place. Years will go by, and we have made no tarqi towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.